Love Talk Radio.
God, that no heart and heart of an angel will come to them any longer, God. in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Oh, come on and put those sanctified hands together. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. You may be seated in the presence of God. Amen. I don't know about you, but I'm happy today. Amen. Amen. A lot of people have put this country down. Amen. Because of our greed and our discord. And a lot of people don't believe in what we believe in today, amen? But I bless the Lord of being on this side of the water, amen? And for our servants, men and women that have fought so hard that we may have this freedom. But don't you know that they can't do anything without God? Amen? That brings me into where we are today. I even want to take a step back into the blind men that receive sight. Amen? Scripture says, as Jesus and his disciples was leaving Jericho, a large crowd followed him, and two blind men were sitting by the roadside, and when they heard that Jesus was going, amen, by, they shouted, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. Has anybody ever just cried out to God and said, Lord, have mercy on me? But the scripture said that Jesus stopped and he asked him, what would you have me to do? I just believe that if you are faithful in asking Christ to have mercy on you and your life is leveling off to what the scripture says you should be, Christ would actually ask you, what would you have me to do? But scripture also recorded that they answered after him, Lord, we want our sight. And Jesus had compassion on them, and he touched their eyes, and immediately they received their sight, and they followed him. Christ has performed so many miracles in our lives, yet we don't follow him. The parable about the two sons that said, what do you think of this? There was a man who had two sons, and he went to the first son and said, son, go and work today in the vineyard. And the son replied to him that, I will not. And then the father went unto the other son and said the same thing. But before he actually went, he said to the son that he said, I will not. He changed his mind. And he did what his father asked him to do. But then Christ gave us this continued parable and said, he said to the second son, go into the vineyard. And the son said that I will go. But he never showed up. So I want to ask you today, who do you think God will bless? The one that said, I will not, but then he changed his mind? Or the one that said, I will, but he never showed up? I need you to turn to your neighbor and tell him I'm running for my life. I really need you to turn to your neighbor and say it like you mean it. I'm running for my life. It was the first one that God blessed because even though he said no in his disobedience, he changed his mind. But I need to help you saints out. It's another thing for you to turn to your leaders and say, I will, but I never did it. I'm running for my life. Because when we are not obedient to the things of God, yet we openly say we will, and you still won't do. The Bible says that those that know my word and still don't abide will be whipped with a many of stripes. What do you mean, preacher? Well, ask yourselves how many came into the sanctuary and cleaned God's house. But you said that you will. I'm just giving you a small portion of what that is. Now, there are some great obstacles in your life that you said to God that you will do, but you still turn from it. There's no sense of lying to God. You're lying to yourself. Even when we defeat this earth, God is still God. He's still alive. He still rules and he still reigns. But then now, Christ answered and said that the first one will be the one. But he said, truly, I tell you that the tax collectors and the prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to show you the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. I'm running for my life. And even after you saw this, you did not repent and you did not believe. How terrible is that? That even though you've seen miracles, that you understood the signs that were before you, in flesh, spiritually moving, and you still stay the same way. Somebody should be running for their life right now. I don't know about you, but I'm running. Songwriter say, I'm chasing after you, no matter what I have to do, because I need you more and more. Amen? I don't know about you. I'm running for my life. Amen? But then here it is. Christ was giving his parable there. He was letting us know, no matter what we were going through, no matter what we thought we could do on our own, if our obedience, scripture says obedience is better than sacrifice. Say obedience is better than sacrifice. Deacon Hall loved to tell me, but Pastor, you can't change. Let me give you a comment. Let's join on a conversation on last night when I spoke to the deacon. He said, but Pastor, everybody's not like you. I said, well, maybe I should be like everybody else. Because, see, the Bible teaches me that when the shepherd speaks, or in my case, the under-shepherd, because my shepherd is Christ. So when we speak, you should understand my voice. Am I right about it? So if I'm speaking and you're not adhering to the levels of instructions that I am providing to you and you still go your own way, obviously this is not the voice for you to follow. I said, wouldn't it be nice if I just shut down the church and everybody wait until I finish cleaning the church or until I get on the ladder and change the filter? When I do all of these things that are required for the house of God, then I open up. He said, you can't do that, Pastor. You have to set the standards for everyone else. But if I'm not the voice that you're following, then I'm not your pastor. So whether I'm here for you or not, or decide to stay home and say, uh-oh, was I supposed to show up? I'm letting you in now because you should be running for your life. Obedience is better than the sacrifice. Come on, somebody, be with me today. He came to pull out the belt, and you need to take your chastisement. Bible teaches me, woe unto the shepherd that scatters the flock.
Woe.
He has to deal with me first. Yet you keep coming back every Sunday. So obviously I'm not scattering you. Am I right about it? But we're still not being obedient to the house of God. In our giving, the pastor has to pump and pry you. In our praise, the pastor has to pump and pry you. In your obedience to the house of God, the pastor has to pump and pry you. Who do you think God is going to be blessing? Those that changed their mind and said, I ain't going to do it because so-and-so ain't going to do it. But they changed their mind and came on and did it anyway. Or those that say, I'll be there and never show up. Do what you came to do, Holy Spirit. We're going into Matthew 23. And the word of God was reading in the first verse. Then Jesus said to the crowd and to the disciples, the teachers of the law and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. So you must be careful to do everything they tell you. But do not do what they do, for they do not practice what they preach. They tie up heavy and caravans and load them upon others' shoulders. Come on, somebody. Somebody told me, Pastor, you should have to clean the church. The devil is defeated, because if I don't make an example, somebody else won't follow me. Do what you came to do, Lord. Here it is, it said that, but they themselves will not be willing to lift a finger or move them. I don't think you got that kind of pastor, do you? Huh? You don't have that kind of pastor, do you? She's willing to climb the ladders and change the filters. She's willing to vacuum the floors and clean the toilets. Wouldn't I love to honor and respect such a leader? But Christ said that everything that they do is done for people to see. They make themselves available to others to see and worship with wine and tassels and their garments on land. But they love the place of honor and banquets. Some people love to be worshipped. Pastor said, I don't want a banquet. I really don't want this. Let's move beyond this, because if I got to throw my own party, I don't want it anyhow. Come on, somebody. But they love to have the most important seat in the synagogue. I believe that when somebody else is bringing forth the work of God, the pastor don't sit over here. She sits down because she needs to learn and hear what God says to the Lord. She don't have to sit in that seat every time the doors of the church open. Come on, somebody. Because I'm running for my life. I need you to see how I'm living with God. Amen? They love to be greeted with respect in the marketplace and to be called rabbis to others. Don't call me Sister McCray. You better address me as the apostle. The devil is a lie. Last I checked, we worked together. Hallelujah, somebody. But you are not to be called rabbi. This is Christ talking now. This is not me. Christ said, but you are not to be called the rabbi, for you have only one teacher, which is the Lord and Savior. Come on. Amen. And you are all brothers. There's a plaque in my office where they wanted to honor me back in 2011 or 12, if I'm not mistaken, as Pastor of the Week. She said, well, pastor this and pastor that. And she gave me the illusion that you were worshiping. Pastor, I said, do me a favor, darling. Just simply call me Sister McCray. Because I never want you to get the understanding that I'm greater than God. But it's just the respect that I have for you. Respect the word of God. And once you understand that, you wouldn't use the dialogue of pastor in such a reverencing way. She told me, well, excuse me, you're excused, darling. Now, can we continue with this interview? We need to understand that titles don't dissect or allow people to understand who we are. They just understand what level we are in God. That's the only difference. Because way back in Genesis, it asked me, am I my brother's keeper? Even from the one that torn innocent blood and shed, he still had enough fault to stand up and look to God. But we are. We are supposed to look out for one another. My God. Christ said, and do not call anyone on this earth Father, for you have only one Father, and he is in heaven. Nor are you to call your instructors, for you are to be called instructors. Amen? For you have only one instructor, and that is the Messiah. The greatest among you will be called servants, for those who examine themselves, turn to your neighbor and say, I'm looking out for me. I'm watching my ways. Amen. For those who examine themselves will be humble, and those who examine themselves will be exalted. I'm running for my life. I don't need you to exalt me, because once I'm humble enough to know who God is in my life, I need you to get this faith. You don't need any accolades to be a child of God. You just have to be humble enough to receive God. But now here Christ got ready to chastise us leaders. He began to talk to them. He began to move with them. And he began to give instructions as the Messiah to them. Amen? My God. Here started in verse 13 and said, woe to you, the teachers of the law and the Pharisees, you hypocrites. So, yeah, it's not just Pastor McCray that acts like that. Christ was onto something right here. Amen? He said that you shut the doors of the kingdom of heaven in the people's faces. You yourself do not enter, nor will you let them enter who is trying to. Prophet and I had a conversation a while back, and that conversation consists of we get so holy till we're no earthly good, and then we allow religious and righteous things to come into our play. Amen. But you are always the victim, and you are always wounded, and you could never repent and apologize. So if Christ said that you are to forgive those, he even said that you should pray for those that spitefully use you. So where are we in that? See, because if I didn't do what God told me to do, I'm running for my life. We become victimized. We become abused. We become hurt. We become dismayed. But we never become the one that repents and asks for forgiveness. Come on, Holy Spirit. Not letting others enter into the kingdom of heaven and not entering yourself. You ain't going no higher than this ceiling. Any good? So you better be running for your life. My God, in the 15th verse, said, woe to you, teacher. He continues to say this. Woe to you, teachers of the law and the Pharisees, you hypocrites. You travel over the land and the seas to win single converts, and when you have succeeded, you make them twice as much as children of hell than you are. Converting people away from God to be like you. I'm the only one saved. That's why I left the church, because they ain't got no spirit of God in them. But you're the one left. Why the word sick? You need to understand. Your pastor has come before you. You need to get the word of God down on the inside, so God can do a work on the inside, and you can be glorified on the outside. Oftentimes we want to chastise people and we want to tell them what thus says the Lord, but we don't want to obey the word of God for ourselves. Ain't nobody in there being converted. Ain't nobody in that church being saved. Ain't no members coming in. Because you don't need to come in. He said those that hear the voice will answer the call, and those will follow that shepherd. Do it. Don't you love it when a plan come together? Tell your neighbor, I'm running for my life. Hallelujah. Verse 16 says, woe to you blind eyes. You say that if anyone swear by the temple, it means nothing. I swear to God in the holy sanctuary. International Prayer Center is my house of prayer. I swear on everything. Keep on. It means nothing, but everyone who swears by gold of the temple is bound by that oath. You're blind fools. Christ said, you are blinded. Amen? What is greater, the gold or the temple that makes the gold sacred? Which one is it, saint? You also say that if anyone swears by the altar, it means nothing. But anyone who swears by the gift of the altar is bounded by its oath. You are blinded men. Amen? Which is greater, the gift or the altar? Take and what makes the gift sacred. Amen? Therefore, anyone who swears by the altar swears by it and by everything that is holy. And if anyone who swears by the temple swears by it, by one who dwells in it. And if anyone who swears by heaven swear by God's throne and by the one who sits on it. Well, you're saying, preacher, blindly leading God's people to follow man-made traditions instead of God's word. There are no more burnt offerings anymore. Yet people say, I need you to give a sacrificial offering unto the house of God. God would never allow anyone to take up a bill money, something that he has allowed you to work for, to sacrifice for his house. Because if you are giving of your tenth, I heard the prophet speak about the tenth today, if you are already giving of your tenth, the house of God will have no lack. Ah, somebody missed that. So why do I need to offer a sacrificial offering when the offerings in the house of God should already provide for the house of God? Somebody say, I don't have a job, but you got 24 hours in a day, but nobody dedicates 2 hours and 40 minutes to the house of God. How long we going to be in church? How long they service last? Yes? Yeah? He came to do it. I'm running for my life. Amen? Because the devil is at my foot. I am running for my life. And if I don't get this ordinance thing down pat, he might just catch up to me. Ooh, this is sweet. In verse 23, he said, woe to you teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. Somebody say, I'm not a hypocrite. Amen. You give a tenth of your spices and your mint and your deal and your coming, but you have neglected more important matters like justice of the law and having mercy and faithfulness. You should have practiced the latter, which is not neglecting the formal. If you are blinded, guys, you strain out the gnat and swallow the camel. What are you saying, preacher? Jesus has challenged us in our society and in our normal acts. To him, the greatness comes from serving. Give to yourself to help God and others. Service keeps us aware of others, amen, in their time of need, and it stops us from focusing on ourselves. I'm proud to say that you serve a leader in this house that will look out for other people's needs before they see themselves. Amen? Jesus came as a servant. What kind of greatness do you see? Amen? Being a religious leader in Jerusalem was very different from being a pastor in this secular society today.
Israel's history it cultivates, and its daily life is centered around its relationship with God. A relationship,
not religion.
Amen?
My God.
The religious leaders were the best known for their power and most respected of all leaders. Jesus made these stunning accusations because the leaders were hungry for more power, money, and status, and that's what had them to lose sight of God. Amen? And their blindness was spreading throughout the nation. The Pharisees converted their attraction to religion and not to God by getting caught up in the details of the additional laws and regulations. Don't you touch communion because you ain't got no white gloves on. Come on, somebody. But they completely missed God to their own laws and their points. The religion of this work put pressure on the people to surpass their others and what they're known to do.
I can't even go to church. I ain't buy no white gloves.
Whoa. Whoa.
This is good.
Now, these hypocritical teachers were likely to have students who were even more hypocritical. Amen? We must make sure that we are not creating the Pharisees by embracing the outward obedience at the expense of the inward renewal.
What are you saying, preacher? I don't care what you look like on the outside. I want to know what you got on the inside.
Now, it is possible to obey the details of the law, but still disobey in your general behavior. For example, we could be so precise in our faithfulness about giving the tenth of our money to God, but refuse to give 1 minute of our time into helping others. Now, I need you to understand tithing is important, but giving this tenth does not exempt you from fulfilling God and his destination for your life.
We got so big on, I gave my money, that's all I'm required to do. The devil is defeated.
The Pharisees strained their water so that they wouldn't accidentally swallow this knife, amen, as uncleaning insect according to the law. About this detail in the ceremonial cleaning, nevertheless, they're still dirty on the inside.
I don't care how much religious things you do. I don't care how many acts you think that are going to make you holy. Laying out before the altar and praying out. That ain't going to get you in. All of you doing is pleasing your flesh and allowing others to see you act religiously.
Whoa.
Whoa. Megan Hall and I talked about the Jezebel spirit. People really think that Jezebel is about perversion, but she's more than that. She's about religious acts. Don't you know that Queen Jezebel was actually a worshiper? They built altars for Baal. They prayed to him. Everybody that lay down and pray, if you watch their life, it's a thin line between love and hate. It's a thin line between God and the enemy. So I don't care what your mouth says. I watch what your body language tells me. Because that's what your heart says to your body, and your body reacts to your heart. So while you're thinking you're more holier than I, or your salvation is greater than mine, or that you've been doing this longer than me, so that warrants you to be much more favored than I see your actions. You don't have repentance in you because you feel like you did nothing wrong. You don't have forgiveness in your heart because you feel like you didn't do anything wrong. You don't have any compassion in your heart because you feel like you shouldn't have to do it. They went through that. Now they found themselves in them circumstances, that's their business. Where's the love? Where's the compassion? So I said, whoa. He said, whoa, whoa. That's the greatest warning in the world. Whoa. So loud. Take heed. Pay attention. Amen? My Lord. Here in that 23rd verse, amen, and it says, woe to the teachers of the law and the Pharisees, you hypocrites. You give a tenth of your spice, your mint, your deals, your coming, but you neglect the more important matters of the law. Justice, mercy, faithfulness. You should have practiced the latter with not neglecting the formal, amen? You are blinded guides and you strain out the nuts and swallow the camel. So what this verse is saying to me, that is, you're involving yourself in every last detail and ignoring what is really important. Justice, mercy, and faithfulness. Amen. The 25th verse says, woe to you teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You clean the outside of the cup and the dishes, but the inside is filled with greed and self-indulgence. Blinded Pharisees first clean the inside of the cup and the dishes, and then the outside will be clean. Amen? What he's saying is here is keeping up the appearance while you're privately in a world of corruption. Whoa. Everything that cry holy, holy ain't holy. I don't care how many sanctuaries you go into. I don't care how many preachers say you are the great apostle, you are a magnificent speaker, you are a pastor, you are the evangelist, the teacher, and the pastor. It doesn't matter if your outward man is giving a false illusion, but the inward man is still corrupted. I'm the first one to apologize. I'm the first one to confront. And I'm the first one to cry out to God because I'm running for my life. I need to get this right with God. Now, his word tells me that I'm to shy away from the very appearance of evil. Because I am born into sin and I am shaped with the iniquity, evil is all around me. But do you have to allow it to live on the inside? There are so many things I do even up to today, but the Holy Spirit always gets me caught up. And all I can say is, Lord, I thank you. Am I right about it, Deacon McCray? Just a few days ago, he wouldn't let me sin. I said, Jesus, thank you. Thank you. I just lifted up my hands and began to say thank you. My husband said, what's the matter? What's going on? I showed him my error because he said, confess your faults one to another and then pray one for another. We have to get like that. Are you with me, Brother Lowe? We have to understand what Christ is saying to us. This right here in the 23rd Psalm was his sermon on the mount. He was talking to us. He was making sure that we understand our role in the church. Who's the church? Y'all don't sound convincing. Who is the church? Thank you. My God, I'm fine. Here we are, even from the 27th verse where he says, woe to you teachers of the law and the Pharisees, you hypocrites. Anybody getting tired of being called a hypocrite today? You are like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are filled with bones of the dead and everything that is unclean. And in the same way, on the outside, your appearance to people as religious, but the inside is full of hypocrites, amen, hypocrisy and wickedness, acting spiritual to cover up your sin. Hallelujah, glory! But when somebody pays attention to your behavior and your life, you're far from God. Who are you serving? Who are you serving? Here it is to say that it is possible to serve God, but if we refuse to give a minute of our time into helping others, then we're refusing God. Dropping down to the 29th verse, the word says, woe to you teachers of the law and the Pharisees, you hypocrites. You build tombs for the prophets and decorate their graves of righteousness. And you say, if they had lived in the days of the ancient, then we would not have taken part of them in the shedding of the blood of the prophets. So you testify against yourselves that you are descendants of those who murdered the prophets. But go ahead then and complete this ancient and the ancestors have started. Christ said that you snakes. You brought the vipers and you will escape being condemned to hell. Therefore, I am sending you the prophets of faith and the teachers. Some of them that will be killed and crucified and others that will be fired in your synagogues, but pursued from town to town. And upon your will comes all the righteousness of the blood, amen, that has been shed on earth. From the blood of righteousness of Abel, the blood of Zechariah and the son of Berechiah, who was murdered between the temple. But then Christ said, truly I tell to you that all that will come on this generation, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you are killing off the prophets and stones and sent to you. How often have I longed to gather my children together as the hen gathered the chicks under their wings, pretending to have learned from past history, but your present behavior shows that you have learned nothing. I was brought up in the church for 20 years, so I know how to do praise and worship. I've listened to my pastor for 10 years, so I know how to deliver a sermon. People often say that. I want you to really examine this, and I want you to really pay attention to this. How many people say, I've learned to live right, and I've learned to live holy? I learned from those of old. They chose. I'm the example of who they are. Bad example. You bring shame to those. And if their behavior was like this behavior, whoa. Whoa. And you know something? Jesus mentioned 7 ways to guarantee God's anger. When he told the religious leaders about the 7 woes, these 7 statements were strong and unforgivable. They are still applicable at any time that we become involved in perfecting the practice of religion, that we forgot that God is also concerned with mercy, real love, and forgiveness. Hallelujah. My God. Here we are. When we drop down to the division of the 24th in Matthew, Jesus left the temple and he was walking away when the disciples came up to him and they called for his attention to the building. Do you see all of these things? They asked him, and he said, truly, you not one stone is here to be left on another, and everyone will be thrown down. Y'all didn't get that. But as Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. Tell us, they said, when will this happen, and what will be the sign that you did it, that the coming of the end of the ages? What's happening in Jerusalem right now? what's happening here in the States, what is happening right over in Paris. Come on, saints. Christ turned to them and answered, he said, watch out that no one deceive you, for there will be a coming in my name claiming that I am the Messiah, and they will deceive me. You would hear of wars and rumors of wars, but to see that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nations will rise against nations and kingdoms against kingdoms. Therefore, these famines and the earthquakes are in various places. All these are the beginning of the birth pains. Oh, God. So while we're sitting down being hypocrites of one another, by we're sitting and being judgmental of one another, when we are supposed to be the keepers of God, we are putting more of God's people in more hesitant places and more damnation and sitting in the hell faster than we can get there. Rumors of wars, earthquakes in various places. When I was coming up, I only knew that earthquakes would happen in California. Now we have tsunamis and all of these things happening over the earth. The end time is not here, but it is coming. Christ said that you need to pay attention and don't be deceived by those that say, I am the Messiah, that I come in the name of the Lord. They are a liar. He said that when I come back, I will come back on a cloud shaped in silverness. The horns and trumpets will sound. You would know when Christ is here. Amen? We have rappers and actors and all such of people that are changing their names and saying who they are. And let me go on the record. This Scientology thing, where they have no education on the outside because the world can teach them nothing, so it is all on the inside. They have their own schools, their own private this, their own private that. Even those are breaking away from this Scientology. Everything that Christ has and everything that God is committed in science. How could you wrap your mind around understanding that there are three heavens? That means layer upon layer upon layer. You could never be able to put your eyes on God. Yet they said we are teaching a false hope. We're teaching a false word. I believe this word has been around longer than they have. Somebody say amen. Amen. Jesus condemned the Pharisees and the religious leaders for their outward appearance of saintly and holy, but inward remaining full of corruption and greed, living our Christianity merely as shown for others. It's like washing a cup on the outside only. Amen? When we are clean on the inside, our cleansingness and the outward won't be shamed. These prophets, wise men and teachers, probably leaders in the early church, amen, who were prosecuted and scorned and killed as Jesus predicted. The people of Jesus' generation said that they would not act as their fathers did in killing the prophets whom God had sent to them, but they would be about killing the Messiah himself and his faithful followers. Thus, they would become guilty of all righteous blood shed through centuries. We're talking about Israel, the Jews. Amen? Jesus summarized the history of the Old Testament martyr when Abel was the first martyr. Zechariah was the last mentioned in the Hebrew Bible, which ended in the Second Chronicles. Zechariah is a classic example of men of God who were killed by those who claim to be God's people. Some people will kill your ministry. They will talk out in the atmosphere against you.
They will shut you down that you ain't saved as you claim you are. You're not as righteous as. Come on, somebody. Don't you know there is power and death in your tongue? Jesus wanted to gather his people together as the hen did to protect, amen, the chick under her wing. But they didn't let him. And Jesus also wanted to protect us if we would just come to him. Many times we hurt and we don't know where to turn. We reject Christ whenever, amen, he decides to help, because we don't think that he can give us the help that we need. Who knows our every need better than our Creator? Those who turn to Jesus will find his help and his comfort as no one else can. People say she always talking about love making. You got that right, because Christ is my lover. He touched me in most intimate parts that my husband can't touch and deliver me from. He's my Creator. Amen? But Jerusalem was the capital of the city of God's chosen people, the ancestral home of David, Israel's greatest king, and the location of the temple, the earthly dwelling place of God. It was intended to be the center of worship of the true and living God, a symbol of justice to all people. But Jerusalem became blinded to God's insensitivity to human needs. Here we see the depths of Jesus' feeling and the loss of his people for his beloved city, which will soon be destroyed. ISIS is moving and the devil is moving rapidly in their lives. And although one of us know exactly what the temple looks like, it must have been something magnificent and something beautiful and wrapped in gold and linens and washed stones. Can you imagine how beautiful and majestic that must have been? Amen? But no doubt, to stay on friendly terms with his subject, next to the inner temple, there was a sacrifice object that would be kept for a sacrificial offering. They always kept something in the temple to sacrifice unto God. Amen. They believed in these things. But Jesus was sitting on the mount and in that very place where the prophets were, and he predicted that the Messiah would stand when he came, and he will establish his kingdom. Whoa. Whoa. God is warning his church, and he's letting you know that I am still here. And he's letting us understand that the Messiah is still sitting on his right hand. But he's also warning us not to become the Pharisees of the law and not to walk in the hypocritical judgment, but to also live a righteous life, a faithful life, a merciful life, and a repenting life. Now, don't tell them that. Don't tell them, because they're going to use that against you. He said, repent. Repent, church. Be faithful to what you say you're going to do. Because that's a sin to me. That's a hypocrite. That's just something so small. You are a hypocrite. I would dare not say God said. God said. He's spiritually angry. His word says, whoa. I don't have to tell you what God said. Now, if you're involved in this word, you know exactly what God said. He said, whoa, you keepers of the law, Pharisees, you hypocrites. Whoa, slow down. There's a warning. There's a warning, saints. But we want to keep the laws of the land, and we want to be filled with religious acts. We don't want to do the work of the Lord. That's too hard. I got to go to work. I'm tired. I got to go to school. I'm sick. I bless the Lord. I don't feel like what I look.
I mean, I don't look like what I feel. Amen? COPD don't feel good. Fibromyalgia really doesn't feel good. Lupus truly don't feel good. Having asthma and having asthma attacks don't feel good. Being subject to all sorts of illnesses don't feel good. Having needles and medication running through your veins don't feel good. I beg to differ that it don't even look good. But I claim victory. I claim wholeness and deliverance. I claim faithfulness and healing. I claim it all. Why? Because I am a child of the Most High. And I'm running for my life. Anybody running today? Anybody running today? Come on, come on, come on, come on. I know it's cool in here. I know that I can just put black folks to sleep. But is there anybody in this place that's running for their life? I need you to be like the two blind men and say, Lord, have mercy on me. Come on and stand to your feet. Come on and stand to your feet. Get your blood running. Somebody needs to have a personal heart talk to God right now. And just say, Lord, have mercy on me. Come on, come on, come on. Lord, have mercy on me. God is doing the work right now. And he's challenging us in our faith. He said, I'll remove the hedge of protection from away from you. And I allow the enemy to come in because I need to test and see right where you are. Also, like Job, he even told him, he said, where have you been? He said, I've been going to and fro seeking whom I may devour. But I can hear down in my spirit, man, where Christ said, where have you ever tested this church called International Prayer Center? And the devil said, I'll make them curse you. I'll make them leave you. I'll make them go against everything that you have. I'll make them run from you so far you wouldn't be able to find them. But although they're coming in and they're testing IPC, they're testing soul seekers. They're testing broken shackles. They're testing prophetic grace. They're testing nationwide. They're testing all of the ministries that are built for the Lord. We're still standing. God is still restoring. Everything that the enemy and the cake of worms have eaten up and taken from you, from your position, God is still God. He still rules and he still reigns. But God said, whoa. Whoa. Let's not be hypocritical of my word. Let's not be hypocritical of my faith. And let's not misjudge religion for spiritual things. Whoa. Come on, come on. Tell the enemy, whoa. Whoa. Anybody believe that you're fighting for your life? Come on, come on, come on. What a sweet word. What a sweet understanding. What you do when in this season, please don't you allow me. Don't do it without me. Jesus.
without me. Help me see, Lord, if you're healing. Jesus, don't. With everyone that needs prayer today, man, don't do it without me.
Without me,
God, we see what you have done in this place with a hand written in the blood of the Lord. God, allow us to turn from our wicked ways and in all things acknowledge you, Father. God, we bless you for what you have already done, oh God. But now, God, we ask that your will be done in our lives, oh God. That the sacrifices that we make unto you be acceptable in your sight. For you are our Savior, our Redeemer. And God, we ask, oh God, that you show us the way. For your word said that the way is narrow, oh God. And God, you said that the saved will barely make it in, oh God. But God, we ask right now, oh God, that you continue to show us your way, oh God. Continue to allow us to walk in the day of repentance, oh God. To have forgiveness on our hearts, oh God. Not to be quick to judge, oh God, but quick to lend compassion, oh God. God, for your word is reigning true in our lives, oh God, and your word said, woe unto the shepherd that scatters your flock, oh God. God, we repent right now of all sins, known and unknown, oh God. Omission and no commission, oh God. God, as we stand before you spiritually and whole, oh God, your word said that you will be in the midst of your people, oh God. God, Paul told Timothy to show, study to show thyself approved unto you, oh God, that we may rightfully divide the wrong and truth, oh God. God, that you will be justified in the works, oh God. And God, you said that you will shift us like wheat, oh God. Make us whole, oh God. Turn us from our reprobated minds, oh God. Turn us, oh God, from being a double-minded man and unstable in all our ways, oh God. God, we desire to be righteous, not religious, oh God. We desire to be faithful, not feared, oh God. We desire to serve, oh God, not to be lent of the servant, oh God. Use us, guide us, heal and deliver us. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Jesus, indeed, right of the glory. My power and might, cause we sing holy, holy, holy. See you, hallelujah. I want to see you. Open, yeah.
Thank you, Lord, for everything that you have done. Bless those that are listening, oh God, across this world. Heal your man, oh God, in Jesus' name. Amen.